Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. I got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We have the band back together, and we're going to have some fun. We got some entertainment news coming up for you. Get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. I also wanted to touch on this thing that Starbucks has got coming up. I wanted to get your take on that, Terry. And we have the best nicknames in country music. I'm going to get into that one for you, too. But we actually have some breaking news we wanted to get to real quick. And thank you to Pam Hilke getting us this. It comes to us from our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department for immediate release. Yellow River Riders will be opening their trails tomorrow at 8 a.m. Vesper Snow Drifter section of trail starting at intersection 8 State Highway 73 South to State Highway 54 ATV Intense Use Air Arena remains closed. All other snowmobile trails in Wood County are open as of 10 o'clock today.
I saw lots of snowmobiles yesterday, ditch riding. So
rejoice, everybody.
Yeah.
County trail maps can be accessed on the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department website. Please travel with caution as conditions will vary. Some areas are icy, making grooming very difficult, so some areas are only partially groomed. Please be careful and ride at your own risk. Respect landowners and stay on marked trails. Wood County multi-use trails at NEPCO, Powers Bluff, and Richfield 360 are groomed and track set. Trail pass information is located as trailhead locators. If you have any questions, you can reach them, contact them at their Facebook or Instagram pages or Travel Wisconsin for updated opening and closing information. And you can always give them a call at 715-421-8422, 421-8422, or visit their website, co.wood.wi.us. Big thank you to our Parks and Forestry Department.
I didn't think about this until you were reading that. You and I had an agreement that the next big snowfall, we were going to Powers Bluff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. That's right. Wait a minute. I actually think there was something in here I didn't get a chance to read. Powers Bluff Winter Sports Area will be open Saturday and Sunday for tubing and skiing. Two sessions, 10 to 1 and 1 to 4 all day passes available. We got to make plans for that.
Oh, boy.
We got to make plans for that. Otherwise, the audience will never let us live it down. You guys never did that. Well, now we have to do it. It's your fault. It's your fault. But,
it's fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I haven't done anything like that since I was a teenager. I miss doing stuff like that. I love skiing and tubing, both whether on water or on snow. Fan of both. I did a little snowboarding for a while and really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun.
I've never, like, legit tried snowboarding. You know what I mean? Just, like, goofing around at home or something.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of both of my feet tethered in the same place.
Yeah, I can get that.
I know a lot of people are like, you don't even, it's not a thing. Like, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even, but I just, I don't love it.
I get that. I got to understand that. We're going to dive into some entertainment news now, and we've got a couple of interesting possible sequels on the way. We're going to kick things off with Wayne's World. It's excellent. Woo-hoo. Fans are starting to speculate that another Wayne's World sequel.
Wait, if you're doing that, you have to let your hair down.
I should
do it with your hair up.
You're right. Yeah, I should have. you can see the blue then, maybe. I've been very disappointed. I was all like, I've never done anything. I'm not a spontaneous person. I dye my hair this like midnight blue and nobody notices.
You can see it a little bit, but really not very much. Maybe out in the sun.
I guess it was, I don't know. I guess that is a good thing in some ways. And at the same time, I was like, oh.
I got nothing.
Nothing. Wayne's World sequel could be on the way after seeing a recent post from Dana Carvey. He posted a photo of himself with Mike Myers as Wayne and Garth. Garth is painting a portrait of Wayne, and the caption says, Garth says, I like to paint. Josh Gad commented, please let it be three. As in, it'd be the third Wayne's World. Back in 2021, they did get in a costume for a Super Bowl ad for Uber Eats. So I remember that. Yeah, this could potentially be a throwback photo or maybe another commercial. But To be fair here, Mike Myers' career has taken some hits, and he could use a hit. And Dana Carvey has been still struggling to get back what he lost. I feel like I have to bring this up every time with Dana Carvey because it's not common knowledge. But many may wonder, well, why did Dana Carvey ever go away? Dana Carvey was a pretty big name for quite a while. And one of the few guys to go from Saturday Night Live and go to the movies and not really miss a beat. He was on a path that Eddie Murphy was on, which is really saying something. So why did he go away? Well, Dana Carvey went in for surgery and the doctors got they took out the wrong thing. And he for years he was struggling with his health to get back.
Seriously?
And everything. Yes, and ended up taking them to court. It just like a couple of years ago settled out. Just finally settled the court case and everything. And I might be missing some details here, but not the key stuff. It was a something like that that kept him out of the game for a long time. So if I'm Dana Carvey, I've missed a decade of my career.
Yeah,
and my prime in my career. I don't know how I make that back up. One of the only ways you can do that is kind of leaning on the classics.
Sure.
If I was a rock star, I'd be doing a greatest hits album.
Well, or another last tour.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because I mean,
your last tour for the fourth time.
It's real easy, and I make fun of that stuff, and I get it and everything. But I would like people to just have a little bit of empathy, and I'm not saying you need to or anything like that. We choose these careers, but the idea of that taken away from you.
Well, and why do you have to be done if you're not done?
Right, right.
Right? I mean. So really the issue is probably just the marketing.
Yeah.
It's not really the person, you know, the band or whatever.
Yeah.
But so, okay. So I obviously saw Wayne's World multiple times because I would be challenged to find someone in our generation that didn't.
Yes.
But I never saw the second one.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh,
I don't think.
The second one was okay. I mean, the
like
first one was
like any second
better.
One is
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Meh.
But I actually thought it was one of the better comedy sequels that I've seen.
Okay.
I thought it was decent. And I love the idea of them doing something like this again. If anything else, look, there's going to be like 18 more sequels that shouldn't have been. Why not some that we all kind of like, well, you know, what's the worst that can happen? It's not a great movie. Oh,
isn't
well.
It funny? You think about all the things that kind of set the stage for, right? Like Dumb and Dumber and, you know, like all of these duo comedy kind of stupid
I mean,
wasted brain cells
Wayne's
kind of
World
things
really set that like got that ball rolling.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. That's a really good point, actually. And we continue with this kind of talk because we've already had a few remakes of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but now you might get a sequel. Yes, they're doing a sequel, but it's a book, not a movie or a TV series yet. It will be. Just give it time. It's called How the Grinch Lost Christmas, and it's due out September 5th. And in case you're wondering, Dr. Seuss had nothing to do with it. It's not based on any notes or manuscripts he left behind. But it's being written and illustrated by two guys who worked very closely with Dr. Seuss on related projects before, so there is some bit of a tie. The plot picks up a year after the events of the original. The Grinch is still a good guy, but he struggles to remember the true meaning of the holiday as he attempts to decorate the most elaborate tree and win Whoville's Christmas crown.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that the Grinch has been so popular. Like, even if you go into like a home decor store and you're looking at Christmas stuff, like there is Grinch stuff everywhere. And so I think that people are really in tune with the Grinch. Mm-hmm. And it's a good story and kids still enjoy it. And I still like pulling up the old one from the 60s and watching that. And then the Jim Carrey version, you know. I do kind of struggle with a little bit because with someone making a sequel to Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
That's not Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I'm
on two sides of this where I was all excited. Oh, it's a sequel, but it's a book. Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. New books, new Dr. Seuss. That sounds cool. And then there's that part of it.
You
for
know what
me.
I mean? I just am kind of like, is that something kind of like sacred that should just be left alone?
Yeah.
Now, nobody cares about it anything else, so I don't know why. But that's just for me. Like, I'm like, oh, it doesn't mean it would keep me away from it. I think it sounds like a good plan, good plot.
It's just, I wish there was some overseer of things that like, yes, that can be remade. No, that
like
can't be
like, you cannot touch that.
Yeah. Like, they're remaking The Exorcist. And I can't think of a more waste of money or time. I don't care who they have in that movie. The original stands pack. You go ahead and watch The Exorcist now.
I will not.
It'll freak you out. It'll
I will
freak
not.
You. I think it actually plays more into favor than the old special effects and everything. That's a movie that doesn't need to be remade. We were talking about Stand and Deliver earlier. That movie doesn't need to be remade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't need a prequel. It doesn't need a sequel. Like, come up with something new. The big catch is the producer producers and the people that finally had the green light to make these things go, that had all that power and everything, most of the time, not that creative themselves. And, well, they're not looking at this as creatives. They're looking at this as a investment.
Oh,
as
absolutely.
Money.
You look at how lucrative the Grinch is, yep. and to add something, a before or after, I mean, from the money perspective, it makes sense.
Yep.
But doesn't seem to be consideration for everything else.
No, especially the creative world.
But I'd be curious about the book. I mean, I have no problem with it other than I just don't like other people. And clearly they're not claiming to be Dr. Seuss because sure. They could have easily said, oh, we came across these notes of his,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and they're not doing that. But I don't know. I'll be curious about it.
Side note. I've wondered this since I was a little kid, and my sister and brother used to laugh at me for this. So I probably shouldn't admit it in public. But I've always wondered if the Grinch and Oscar the Grouch were related. They're both green. They're both grouchy.
That has never...
I'm not trying to be stereotypical here.
That has never crossed my mind, but I'm going to go with no.
No, probably not. Probably not. Probably not. Just a coincidence.
But it's possible.
It could be. I saw this one the other day, Terry, and I thought, oh, I got to save this one. Have you made it in country music if you haven't been given a nickname?
Oh, boy.
WhiskeyRiff.com, great name for a website, great name. They do a lot of these kind of things with country stars. They put together a list of the best ones, and here are some of the highlights. And I'll tell you right away, nobody does nicknames better than country music, like as far as the music game and everything.
Sure.
And that's saying something considering most rappers go by a nickname, and they don't even do it as good. And I'm saying that as a huge hip-hop fan. But these are great. Like, you want to start at the bottom or the top? Here?
Let's start at the bottom.
Okay.
Bocephus,
Hank Williams Jr.
Yep.
Yes. It's a classic one.
Oh, yeah,
heard that
for sure.
One many times.
And honestly, I think sometimes people know him by, especially the younger.
Yes.
You don't know him by Bocephus versus Hank Williams.
The Hag.
Merle Haggard.
The great Merle Haggard. Love Merle Haggard.
You know, it's probably okay to call a dude that. If it was a female, you can't
really
call the Hag.
You don't want to shout that across the room. Hey, Hag! No. No, you can get in trouble on that one. But Merle might turn around. Possum.
Oh, yeah, I do know. Johnny?
George Jones.
George Jones, yes.
I'm not sure of the history of that one, though. That one I'm a little curious about. I'll have to look that up.
And I totally know, like, my brother will know, like, in a hot second. Like, if I ask him, he'll know. It's just not coming to me. And we've seen George Jones at Hodeg, but, yeah.
From what I hear, great, sounds so good live. His voice sounds really good live. Duckman. Riley Green.
Riley Green is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't heard that one.
We just saw him actually last August. I took the girls and each brought a friend to Luke Bryan, and Riley Green was one of the openers.
Hmm.
He's really good.
The Gambler.
Oh, Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers, of course. Yeah, yeah. That is such a dang cool nickname. I'm curious if Kenny Rogers has ever been into gambling. Like, he really likes, like, maybe he doesn't even like card games.
Like, he's at the roulette wheel.
Yeah, he actually hates gambling. That'd be hilarious.
But see, okay, occupational hazard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you write one good song and then you're pegged there.
Yeah. Big Dog Daddy. Toby Keith.
Oh, yeah. I guess I have heard that.
I've never heard that before, but if you ask me whose nickname in music, not just country
music. Who could
music,
it be?
Toby Keith. That would be my first and only choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fits. Toad. Blake Shelton.
Oh, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah. I don't know, but apparently he's pretty proud of it, too. Like, I think he's got it on one of his guitars or something
that
and everything. So I never heard that one.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
I haven't heard this one either. Chief. Eric Church.
I have heard that.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard that one.
And I'm thinking, does it tie to one of his albums, maybe? Or, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. But I have heard that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Man in Black.
Yeah, that one's a given. I think everyone knows that one.
Not only that, but I think that may be the greatest nickname in nickname history, let alone in music history. I don't think you're going to top that one. The Hag is good. I like that one. That's another one of my favorites.
But that one has a giveaway in it, right?
Yes,
like a little bit. So,
but the Man in Black, that's just, that's as good a nickname as Johnny Cash was as an artist. That's saying a lot. And King George.
King George Straits.
Yep.
Love George Straits.
You know it means something when your nickname is King. Like, even if it is because of King George and all that stuff or whatever, like it still means something.
I'm a huge George Strait fan. My sister is like a psychotic George Strait fan. Like, seriously. I think if he walked in her house right now and said, and proposed to her, she'd be like, Josh, get your crap and get up. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, like, she is obsessed with George Strait in a good way.
I'm a little surprised, in a good way. I like that. I'm a little surprised that they didn't have more on this list.
So that was number one,
yeah,
first rate.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for some more ones that I wasn't familiar with.
Did you
with.
Notice there were no females?
That was a little, thank you, because I was going to bring that up off air. I thought that was a little surprising. Yeah. Just a couple more here for you. Shotgun Willie Nelson, of course. The Limestone Kid.
Oh.
Parker McCollum.
Oh, and he's pretty new now, last couple of years, but I don't know that. Not familiar with that.
Finally, a nickname, but a pretty obvious one, the coal miner's daughter.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Loretta Lynn.
And she was called that often. Yeah, so, yeah, because I was trying to think. I'm like, what female ones might have a nickname? I'm sure there's a nickname for Miranda Lambert, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not certain what that would be.
Queen. That's what her nickname would be for me. Yeah. The Mysterious Rhinestone Cowboy.
Oh, who sang Rhinestone Cowboy?
I think it's David Allan Coe.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought
he didn't sing that. Cowboy.
Okay, yeah, I thought I was mixing up people or something. No he didn't.
I don't know why David Allan Cole is, I don't know that I've ever heard him called that, but yeah. I don't know that I paid that much attention. That would have been when I was pretty young.
Yeah, yeah, but that was an interesting one. I didn't see that one coming. Yeah, Man in Black, still the undefeated. That's still the number one to me. That's a great nickname.
I'll take King George.
That's a good one, too. WhiskeyRiff.com, if you want to find out more about this or find out some more about some of your favorite artists, WhiskeyRiff.com. For now, Terry and I are going to take a quick commercial break. We will come back with more fun for you on the morning show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Terry and James taking you through it. And we're going to dive into something that Starbucks is up to. Do you think this will taste good or not so much? Starbucks is testing three new drinks that all come with a spoonful of olive oil in them. They're debuting them in Italy. Stereotypical. They'll hit. Actually makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's a very smart.
He says it with a snarl.
Yeah. They'll hit locations in Southern California this spring, and they plan to roll them out nationwide after that. They're all part of a new line called Oleato.
So they're savory drinks?
Maybe. One is a latte with oat milk. The second is an iced hazelnut espresso drink. And the third is a cold brew version with a double serving of extra virgin olive oil. Virgin olive oil. So why are they doing it? A reporter who tried them said it adds a nutty and sweet taste, but that's not why. Even though it adds 120 calories, it's supposed to make your coffee healthier. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz went to Italy last summer and learned a lot of people there drink a spoonful of olive oil a day for health reasons. Studies have found it's good for your heart, so he's been doing it ever since. He thinks it'll transform the coffee industry and up Starbucks' profile. It'll cost even more than a normal cup of Starbucks, but he thinks will pay. Just adding olive oil to any cup of coffee doesn't taste great, apparently, so their research and development team had to figure out a way to make it work. They came up with 12 drinks and whittled them down to three. Starbucks claims that all taste great. They all taste great and add a lush and velvety texture. But one reporter who tried them isn't so sure. She says she liked them all at first, but less and less the more she drank them. She also said she could feel the oil on her lips after a while. Other people who have tried them say they're pretty good, though.
So, okay, that's exactly what I was thinking when you're, like, describing this. I'm thinking about, and I have heard that a teaspoon of olive oil is a good thing. Same thing with, like, you hear apple cider vinegar. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could drink a teaspoon of for you. But I was thinking the same thing about the oil. Like, I understand the whole, like, it adds a smoothness or a richness. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, I mean, that's a natural tendency of oil is that it separates,
right?
So, like, or if your drink, if it's a latte, if it has some kind of cream in it, like, and I'm with that person, I'm feeling that oil, like I'm feeling it in my mouth or I'm feeling it on my lips, like I just
I learned this from my Nana when I was a kid about taking a shot of, she called it a shot of olive oil a day.
Did she put it in a shot glass?
Sometimes, yes.
I love her more now than I did before.
It's amazing. I've mentioned many times and stuff, we didn't grow up, we didn't have a whole lot of money or anything like that. And even in retirement, my Nana and Papa didn't necessarily have a ton of money, especially when they had two little ones, you know, running around with me and my sister when they were taking care of us. But they always had good olive oil. Like, there was never a point where there wasn't great olive oil from Italy in the house. It had to be from Italy, and it was so vital to everything she made and cooked. But that shot was a really good thing. And I you know, for what it's worth, my Nana lived into her late 90s, looked great her whole life, had energy her whole life, all these things. And I do think that, you know, that it wasn't just because of the olive oil, but I think it helped. But this is where they messed up. And the fact that he actually went to Italy and didn't catch this, I can't believe. If you're going to do something like this, cappuccino, espresso, there's a reason we Italians invented our own types of coffee, is so that we could have them with these certain meals. And olive oil goes much better with something like that, I would think, than it would with your standard American coffee.
Yeah.
And maybe having a shot on the side along with the drink is a better option. Putting it in the drink, like forcing it on people, doesn't seem like it's going to – this doesn't have a good shelf life.
But there's a lot of bandwagon people. And if they have the perception that this shot of olive oil in my coffee, even if it's $2 more, is going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to wonder how, for me, like, I wonder what that would do to my digestive system for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I think eventually you'd get used to it, but I think that, I don't know.
It takes some getting used to.
Like, having a whole teaspoon of oil, just, I don't know. I think I'll pass.
I
would do it on the side.
I don't blame these companies. Everybody is looking for what's new and a new way to reinvent the wheel and all that, and I get it. And I don't have any issue with that. I would like to see them do a little of that and also at the same time paying their employees better. I would like to see that first. That would be more of a headline to me than they have olive oil in their coffee now. So instead of a $20 cup of coffee, you've got to spend $25 now.
Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's crazy. But I think they've got a strong following. So yeah. They've got, like I said, the bandwagoners are going to jump on this.
Oh, yeah.
It might survive for a while.
What I hope is that the people that like to, they buy one and they liked it, and then they start incorporating olive oil into more of their diet. Like, that would be, I think, to be cool to see. They turn people on to this, maybe, that they didn't realize, olive oil can be really good for me. Because
yeah.
It can. And like you said, the shot of that or...
the apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar. Yeah.
Yep. But I just... Yeah, I don't know. I'm passing on it in my coffee.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, espresso? Maybe. Maybe an espresso. Maybe I would do it with that. We got some Danny Wright stories we got to get to, Terry. Also, some good stories of the day. Yeah, it was on the fence. It was on the fence, that's for sure. And we got some other stuff I want to get into. All of that coming up for you after Melissa's news right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. That part.
I'm just laughing because we're both just sitting here not saying anything.
Getting into it. Just letting the audience feel it. Feel that 80s music go all over your eardrums. We're actually going to talk a little music right now, interestingly. Terry and James here with you. 9:35 on the clock.
Wait, on a radio station we're going to talk music?
We're going to actually talk music. It's shocking. Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime performance only resulted in 103 complaints to the FCC, which seems low, especially given what seemed like a massive media outrage by certain people. Not surprisingly, those who did complain thought the performance in the song lyrics were too sexual. A number of people had comments about that, about decency, respect for others, and some things like this.
So kind of didn't fit into your family friendly, right?
Yeah.
However that's defined. find. Yes.
There was a bunch of different complaints. I don't really feel like going through some of these stuff. That was the consensus of this argument. I watched the halftime show. I was actually, I didn't plan on it necessarily. I wanted to catch a little of it because I like Rihanna, but I didn't plan on watching the whole thing. My friend and I just kind of got talking, and we just got stuck there and forgot to get up and go grab snacks and things like that. But Chris and I get talking.
How do you forget to grab snacks?
Because him and I don't see each other very often.
You can't both go?
No. I could have done it, or he could have. Yes, we just didn't do it. But because we were sitting there the whole time, I did see the whole thing. And I got to ask, what? What are you talking about?
See, I'm probably on the other side of that. I am not a fan of, like, all the sexual lyrics and stuff. Like, I am not a fan of that.
See, but a lot of the complaints were like her outfit and things like that. And I thought, well, actually, I thought it was pretty cool to see a pregnant woman out there doing her thing.
I have no problem with the outfit. I don't feel it. I mean, clearly she felt a need. I don't feel a need to see men or women grabbing their crotch. And she did it multiple times. Yeah. Like, I just don't. But that has nothing to do with her. Just in general. Yes. Like, to me, that's just not even a, like, I'm just like, why? like, why would you need to do that? So I was not impressed with that. I didn't have, like, obviously, I didn't feel a need to lodge a complaint. My kids are also older. If my kids were younger and watching, I would have been like, I don't know. Because I just don't. But like I said, it's not special to her. It's just not something that I feel needs to be broadcast.
In comparison, the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake 2004 one that had the wardrobe malfunction and all that, 54,000 complaints that one caused.
Well, and even, I mean, I guess that's like still a debate, right? Like, was it planned or was it actually a malfunction? And so if it actually accidentally happened, which, I mean, none of us can go back there. We don't know. Yeah. But if it was actually an accident, then
and nothing surprises me anymore. It would be borderline close to surprising me if Janet Jackson was okay with that. That killed her career.
Like, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That's why I believe it truly was an accident. I don't think that it was a staged, you know, that it was some kind of stunt.
I think it's ridiculous that Justin Timberlake's career kept moving perfectly fine while hers was shut down. Yeah. And while nothing against Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson is 50,000 times more talented than Justin Timberlake has ever been. And yet her career was shut. We're not going to see Janet anymore. Like, what? He can still have a career? Like, that made no sense to me. I don't disagree with the idea of making it family friendly in that you have you're never going to please everybody with something that is so massive as the Super Bowl halftime show. You're not going to hit on all factors. You're not going to hit all your demographic and all that. But I'll say, if I'm the NFL, thank you, complainers. You gave me exactly what I wanted. Because what I hear is, boring halftime show. This is the whole reason the NFL is doing a halftime show, is to keep viewers, people tuned in. If you're complaining, that means you were paying attention.
You watched it.
You gave them exactly what they wanted. All 103 of you that complained, the NFL is just thanking you right now. They're just sitting there and taking that in. No different than the Oscars are thanking Will Smith and Chris Rock. Not actually thanking them, but in their heads, in their minds. Whew, thank God for that. Otherwise, be going into another Oscars with just begging people to watch.
Right.
It's hard to get people to come to live events nowadays. It's hard to get people to pay attention to live events. It's interesting to think of this, but they're actually afraid of the Super Bowl losing what it has, this stranglehold it has on viewership. They're afraid of that. They proved it back in the day when they got scared by In Living Color having a live halftime show. And we can't have the generic. I mean, the halftime shows we grew up on, Terry, were very different than what they're doing nowadays. I will say, the other reason for this is, then we'll go this route next year. And I have no doubt, I almost would bet money on it, the next year's halftime hosts will be country or pop or something on the other side of things. They went hip-hop year before, then they went Rihanna this year, now they're going to go the other way. This is all part of it.
I'm laughing because you gave her own category. Did you notice that? They went hip-hop the year before, then they went Rihanna, then they're going country.
maybe a little biased.
So they went like, R&B. Dude, you have to pick. She's got to be part of a genre.
They went R&B the next year and stuff. And even Beyonce wasn't too long ago, so they had R&B there.
Yep.
So now they'll go the other way. Now they'll flip it the other way and stuff.
Okay, but, and obviously I can't remember every second of it, but when I think about the Beyonce halftime versus the Rihanna one, I think Beyonce's was much cleaner.
Ooh, yeah. I'll say a little more open. You know, where it wasn't the real catch with this is, and even if you're a fan of Rihanna or any of these artists, is it's almost cringy to watch them in this scenario, because you know that there's so many people watching that don't not only get it or want to get it or care, and that there's that part of it. So I don't want to say I feel for the artist, but I feel for the fan base in some ways, like, weird way. I also think it's necessary, because again, you're never gonna, you know, you could have the greatest pop star in the world do this, the most popular number one selling album in the world at that time and all that, and you're still going to have complaints. You're still going to get 100 and some complaints.
Probably
and all
so.
That and again, that's kind of what they want, though. They means that you're paying attention. If you're really that disturbed, I wouldn't complain. You turn your channel. That's the best way to show them. You have to affect people's money. You're never going to get people to jump on causes and these things. People do that, sure, and maybe there's some good out there, but it always comes back to money. And I know that's cynical, and I know it's not what we want to hear or anything like that, but the more we face that and own that, the better we can get away from money and maybe kind of, you know, learn, this is what's causing this? Well, maybe we can bridge off of this, and we can still make a profit while also doing our own thing.
How do you not get up for snacks?
Have you seen how I? No, you haven't seen how I eat.
Well, I mean, seriously,
I'm a grazer. I don't. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I should be called out for that. Yes, I should be. You're absolutely right. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day and plenty more for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. We're locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you, and we're going to get to some That Ain't Right stories and some good stories of the day. And this one takes us, our That Ain't Right story takes us to Washington, D.C., where there's a lot of That Ain't Right stuff going on. Washington, D.C. has a problem with juvenile carjacking right now, but one older woman would not let it happen to her. There's a woman in one neighborhood known as Grandma. That, you know, if that's her nickname, I mean, she's...
Don't mess with her.
Yeah. Last Friday, she was on her way to chemotherapy when a 15-year-old boy tried to carjack her. He walked up to her, demanded her keys, saying he had a gun. But Grandma did not care. She told him, "Baby, you better shoot me because you're not taking my car." He grabbed at her hand and they started brawling. She told the news, "He pushed me to the door and I got up and I grabbed him and he was hitting and was hitting him in the backside. And I was hitting him and fighting him and I said, 'You are not going to take my car, youngin'." Grandma called for help and her neighbors came out. The kid ran across the street, but the neighbors caught up with him. Between them and Grandma, the kid got roughed up because he left in an ambulance before going to jail.
Okay. First of all, she's lucky she didn't get shot.
Yes.
But good on her. I mean, she probably figured, hey, I'm headed to chemo.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
Like no, I'm going to, like, you know. But what is the matter with, what is the matter with kids? It's bad enough there's carjacking going on, but you're targeting the little old granny? Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's never been a lot of... I've been honest about this before, and you know, I'm a different human being that I am now than I was when I was young. But where I grew up, we would hustle, and we would do things to try to make money to keep the lights on and keep electricity and these things. But there was a rule. You never hurt old people, you never hurt kids, and you never took from anybody that had less than you. This was the code. And I'm not saying that we were Robin Hoods or anything like that. We were bad. We shouldn't have been doing the things we were doing. But even we, criminals...
Like there was a line, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a code. So, there's certain things you just don't do.
When he said he had a gun, she should have said, so do I.
I do think that, you know, I appreciate you saying that, that she should not, she should have given him the keys and just backed off. We want her around. But at the same time, this is the debate that we have in our brains when we hear these stories.
Yeah.
What is the right thing to do? You want to defend yourself. You want to fight for yourself.
And
you don't have a lot.
And your stuff. And what the heck? I'm not going to lie. Maybe this isn't very gracious of me, but I kind of like that they took their time roughing him up a little bit before he got picked up.
Again, going back to my old stomping grounds, pun intended. Hood justice.
I understand that's
yes.
not appropriate, but no, I just am kind of like, you know, you kind of asked for it, though.
That's the thing.
Right?
That's the thing of it, yes. I think that organically when these things happen, it is what it is.
There's some risk involved.
Yes, that's what you get. Yeah, it's what you get. You know, you're going to take the energy that you could have put into a job application on something like that. I mean,
you know, good on her. But
I'm glad she's
glad
okay.
She didn't get shot. Yes.
The fact that she's on her way to chemotherapy while this is, I mean, to lead into this. And this kid, you know, he's going to learn from this or he's not. That's the way this is going to work. You know, hopefully he does. While he's healing in the hospital and then getting ready to, you know, fulfill his sentence, he learns something, hopefully. Either way, grandma going to keep doing her
thing. Right.
Wish her well with the chemo, by the way.
And tell your friends not to come for my car.
Right? Yes. Yeah. This is something that I would never have done. Not for the reasons I mentioned before and everything, but also two of the biggest influences I've ever had, two of the strongest human beings I've ever met, are my grandmother, my mom's mom, and my nana, my dad's mom. And you did not mess with these women. Like, I was a knucklehead. I was a rebel without a pause. And I still didn't mess with these two. I messed with my mom a little bit, maybe, but not those two. Nope. No, you do. There's a certain level of a human being. I'll say this for men and women, and especially when they become grandparents. Nah, don't. Those are some of the toughest human beings in the world. They may look frail or whatever to you. Nope. No. Don't judge a book by its cover, for
right?
sure. Don't mess with it. Do not mess with them. We got some good stories of the day we want to kind of focus on. I wanted to take more time with our good stories on a Friday and kind of get a good vibe going into the weekend. A guy in Missouri got a new kidney last week and didn't know who the donor was until right after the surgery when his daughter walked in the room in a hospital gown. She's an adult, but he told her she was too young and didn't want her to do it. So she went behind his back and kept it a secret for 8 months.
Oh, that's a hard... Isn't that a hard thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really cool that she did that, but then I wonder how much, you know what I mean? Clearly he didn't want her to do it for whatever reason. If he felt like he was taking something from her that, you know, it's been proven you can give up a kidney, right?
Yes.
Like that's, you can be just fine. But as a parent, think about how hard that would be.
If you asked me when my father was in the hospital with COVID and we didn't know if he was coming home, hey, your dad will survive if you give him a lung, I'd walked to the hospital in Appleton. But as a father, if my daughter or son did something like that, I don't know how I'd ever get past the guilt.
Well, and I was going to say, so let's go back to your dad, though. So in the condition he was in, which mm-hmm. was not good for a
yes.
while, right? If he would have heard, well, you know, Jimmy will donate a mm-hmm. lung to you, he would have said no.
Yep.
You
yep.
know he would have said no.
Yes, yes.
And so I mean, so I just think about this dad. Mm. Like, that had to be kind of tough. I mean, it's awesome. And kidneys, like I said, kidney is seemingly fairly on the routine side of transplants. Mm-hmm. But that had to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. That's those are going to be some awkward Christmases.
One of those, like, I told you not to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, wow, good for her for pursuing it.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah, well, overall good story for
yes.
sure.
An 80-year-old high school janitor in Texas had to come out of retirement after his rent went up to by $400 a month, but students at the school weren't having it, so they started a GoFundMe campaign, and that they've now raised over $200,000 for him.
Very cool.
That's beautiful. They shouldn't have had to do that.
But that's
beautiful
awesome.
That they did that. A 3-year-old English settler in Arizona named Brisby, great name, just broke a world record for the longest tongue on a dog. They measured according to how far it hangs out, and his tongue is 3.74 inches long. So he is the Gene Simmons of dogs.
Have you ever thought I should measure my dog's
nope.
tongue?
No.
And even if it seemed long, would you be like, I should measure my dog's tongue?
Showing Terry
here.
Oh, cute. He's kind of cute.
It's not really cute. It's not really cute out the side, but it's cute down the front. Okay.
It's a very, whatever you're picturing in your head is exactly what it looks like, too. That's funny. I'm thankful my fur brother is, Sam's one of those licker dogs. He's got to lick everything.
See,
it drives me crazy.
It drives me nuts.
I love the little guy, but that drives me nuts.
Our dog does that, too. And I'm like, ugh, stop licking.
I get, that's how they taste. That's how they, you know what's around them and everything. But yes, enough is enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You licked that same chair yesterday.
It hasn't moved, man. Like, yeah. So he got the record for the longest tongue on a living dog, but it's not even close to the all-time record. That belongs to a dog from Michigan named Brandy, who still holds the record at 17 inches.
Oh, come on.
And let's see here if we can find a picture. Wow. Wow. I had to actually scroll down to get the full tongue in.
And it's slobbery.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You gotta love that dog. That's a great dog right there.
That is crazy.
That is crazy. That is insane. An 82-year-old guy in Canada just became the oldest person to ever do a headstand. He has a tradition where he does one every year on his birthday. Also, a dog in Germany broke the world record by skipping rope 32 times in 30 seconds.
A dog?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty
Someone
cool.
else must be turning the rope, right?
I would think. Well, yeah, two other dogs. Two other dogs are holding the rope.
They wrap their tongue around
yes,
it.
Yeah. If you haven't heard this, it's pretty intense. A guy in New Jersey crashed his ATV in the woods a couple months ago and was missing for 24 hours. Cops eventually found the ATV, and then they found him lying in the snow half a mile away. He was barely alive, had hypothermia, and their chest cams got it all on video. They put their coats on him to warm him up, but one of the cops is a former Marine who knew you're supposed to get on top of the person to warm them up with your body heat. The guy ended up making a full recovery.
That is awesome.
Way to be. Thank
Very
you.
Very cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do remember hearing that story, you know, when it happened.
Yeah.
And that he had done that to bring his body temperature up, but I guess I never heard any follow-up on it. So that's cool that he made a full recovery.
Yeah. Here's someone who never lost their sense of humor. A 65-year-old woman in England knew she had terminal cancer. So, but before she passed away, this was last fall, she planned her own funeral and hired a flash mob to dance to Queen's Another One Bites the Dust.
That is so not funny.
That's not, but... That is definitely something I would do. I'm not going to lie. I cannot pick on it because I would absolutely do something like
that. If you plan your own funeral and you just played the song, think of how like weirdly morbid that would be.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The flash bomb makes it okay.
Yes.
Right? All of a sudden you got all these people coming in. You know, it's like okay.
Yeah. A 67-year-old guy in Michigan is happy about being more forgetful in his old age. Last month, he couldn't remember if he'd bought a lottery ticket yet, so he bought a second one with the same set of numbers, 6, 11, 12, 23, and 33. Both hit for $110,000, so he won $220,000.
Sweet!
That is pretty funny. That's pretty
interesting. That is awesome. Sounds like something would happen to me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Not the winning part, you bought one or not.
Mm-hmm. A guy on TikTok went to a McDonald's drive-thru to get a McMuffin, and when he looked in his bag, he found $5,000 in cash, and that was supposed to go to the bank. Instead of keeping it, he turned around and went back. They ended up giving him a $200 reward for being honest, plus free McDonald's for a month.
Cool.
Which, if he plays that right, could be more than
$5,000. Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding.
And new pants.
Yes, and you're going to have to buy some new pants for sure.
And I'm a McDonald's fan, so I'm not dissing McDonald's. I'm just saying $5,000 worth of McDonald's in a month would be a lot.
I think more times than not, the keeping something like that, the reward ends up being better than the keeping of.
Yeah.
Karma-wise for certain, but even on a giving sense.
Yes. There's no question there, right? Like... What's right is right.
Yeah,
it just doesn't even.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I remember one time when we were little, my brother found a man's wallet. I think we were at like a church picnic or something, and he went and turned it in. And they called the guy up there, whatever. And my dad and my brother were still in that area or something. However it happened, but the guy whose wallet it was pulls out a 50 and gives it to my brother, and he's just little, little. So that was super cool. Or I don't know if the money got directly to him or if it was delivered later. But I mean, that was a neat he certainly didn't need to do that. And with a little kid, he could have done probably $5. But it just, it was a cool, I don't know. I just thought it was really neat that he did that.
I was little and I was walking with my papa and I saw a 20 on the floor. And I snatch it up really quick and I look around and everything. And I look at my papa and he's like, Jimmy, you know what we got to do? And I'm like, all right, all right. And we go up to the counter to give it to the lady.
You're like turning in half.
And I was so, but I did and everything. And she said, oh, that is very nice. And she put the money aside and she pulled out a 5 and gave it to me. And gave me a $5 bill, which at that age was like $500.
Right, so doing the right thing, right?
It really does. I think karma does matter. I think it all adds up. And as we're wrapping up, a good story of the day, of course, is our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. You guys have a number of different things going on, Terry. I did want to mention the funding applications, remind people about that.
Yep, so this would be just for agencies in the community who might be looking for funding. This is not for individuals looking for funding, but agencies who might have a program that fit into our strategy areas of education or health are eligible to apply. The deadline for that application is February 25th at 4 p.m. And the details around that can be found at our website at uwswac.org. We also have a couple of fun things going on right now. We have our calendar raffle, which takes place the month of April. So you can purchase tickets, $10 each or 3 for $20, to win cash prizes. We have $2,000 worth of cash prizes that are sponsored by different companies in the community. And then Power of the Purse is coming up on March 14th. So we encourage all the ladies out there to get a ticket for that and come join us for our handbag silent auction and raffle taking place at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30.
And again, you can find all the information for this at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on your apps, on Instagram, Facebook, all of the above. Terry, always good hanging out with you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back with more Mornings with WFHR. On Monday, we'll have Morning Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR.